you can't miss this. You literally can't miss this because it'll be an interesting dynamic for sure.
Hello, Guten Tag and Kia Ora to the Feeder Series podcast. I'm your host, Jim Kimberley, and those introductions there might give you a little flavour of the podcast we have in store for you today. We've got two guests returning for more from the Feeder Series podcast in an episode that the New Zealand Tourist Board are not sponsoring, but if they want to retrospectively, that would be sweet as. But let's get me into the introductions first, because you might be noticing if you're watching on the video on YouTube that there's only one person here at the moment. But that person is, well, we don't get better than this at the start of the year, one of the very few drivers who can claim to be a 2023 champion, flying literally halfway around the world. This young man became the first ever winner of FROC, and let's be honest, he's actually the TRS 2023 champion. But either way, whatever you want to call it, how does that sound, Charlie Vert?
It's definitely, I think, well, couldn't start the year any better. And it was, I think, quite important because you don't get too much testing in the regional car. So to get 5 weeks in a row, I think 4 days a week, just driving was really key. And I think we'll start the year in Freca with a much higher level.
Well, let's stop things for a second. We're going to go right into it. But you're saying it doesn't get any better than this. That's 2 years in a row you've started the year like this. I know this is Formula Regional, Formula Four, but what's your secret to this winter success?
I don't know. I mean, I usually, both times I started the year not too well. Started the year in the winter series not too well, but then I just kept improving and learning the car. So the progress has been important. I think these winter championships are quite key. You learn so much, and I think we did as well in Freca. I wasn't sure exactly. I knew we could fight for wins, and if I put it all together, wasn't sure exactly what to expect, especially with the Kiwi drivers. They can be, well, my dad raced them 30 years ago in Formula Ford in New Zealand as well. And he told me that they're really specialists on these tracks because they only drive those ones. So I wasn't sure exactly what to expect, but to come out on top is really great.
Hey everyone, Jim here. It's around this point where you're probably thinking, where the hell's Josh Revell? I saw him in the title, in the thumbnail. He is on his way. We had some mix-ups with very last-minute changes to the show this week, but I can assure you he is going to be here and has some hilarious insights, as you may expect. As I say every week, please like, comment and subscribe if you are watching on YouTube. We've reached a milestone of 2,000 subscribers. So overwhelming. Thank you everybody who has subscribed. Equally, if you are listening, please leave a review on Spotify or leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast platform you're using. Thank you everybody who takes a literally minute or so to leave a rating or review. It really, really does help us out. If you haven't managed to catch the episode of Sebastian Montoya, which is an excellent episode, by the way, have a listen, have a watch of that. We are having a little bit of a unpredictable schedule of the podcast at the moment, but to make up for it, next week it's going to be an episode you don't want to miss, an F2 preview with two heavyweight names. Let's get into the only thing we're going to be talking about today, and that is generally TRS / Formula Regional Oceania Championship, a little bit about the future, but I want to kind of focus on how your year's gone, really. I know it's only February, but it's been pretty damn good. It's the championship formerly known as Toyota Racing Series. You're officially the first champion of it being called Formula Regional Oceania Championship. So has that sunk in yet? And what are your overarching memories of your time in Middle Earth?
I mean, it was a really, really fun experience on track and off. I met some great people as well off track, and I really enjoyed it. So I would recommend to anyone to go race in New Zealand. It's an unforgettable experience. And I think, yeah, I mean, there's only positives about it. The tracks are quite different to Europe, what you would get in Europe with they're much more old school. There's no runoff. You go off, you make a mistake, you're in the grass, then you're in a concrete wall or something. Like in Teratonga round two, they had tire barriers, but they filled them with concrete. So it wasn't exactly the safest thing if you went off and you didn't want to think about that, you just wanted to think about staying on the track. But so it was definitely cool. And you had to really make sure you had a good quality performance, because if you racing was quite difficult. But then in the reverse grid races, you had to like really send it and hope for the best when you made a move, because it's very tight. So you have to, it's sort of a different way to race compared to Europe, but then you learn different skills and it's been good. Like the Grand Prix track was definitely really cool, and all the tracks that all have their own characteristics, different, and I definitely learned like different driving styles for each track, because some tracks were super slippery, some tracks were wide, different types of corners. So I learned loads of different skills, and I think that's definitely been really helpful.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's a perfect, literally the perfect way to start the year. You're saying they were kind of old school tracks. You still did pretty well in the desert, and that took it last year when you did F4 UAE, and so you seem to be doing well at both. What was the decision between going to New Zealand or potentially doing Formula Regional Middle East, as so many people did as well? What was your decision making?
Well, we decided together with ART, my new team for this season, that it was, collectively we thought that it would be a better idea to race in New Zealand, in Froc, because they don't have a team in Asia, and they thought there's like a few sometimes there's differences between, I think, I'm not sure, but like between the tires, it seems like. So you see some drivers have a good weekend once, and then next weekend they're 20th, and it seems a bit like a lottery in some way. So we just thought that also to get a different experience, learn different tracks, and they know M2 well. They're a big fan of the team. They've worked together before, with many drivers. They send many drivers over there. So I think they were very keen on the idea to race in New Zealand, and in the end, I think it was definitely a good idea.
Yeah, I think a good idea is a perfect way to describe it. Four wins from 15, three additional podiums, a win in the last race of the season. I'd say you made the best of your time, most of your time there. You're dueling with Callum Hedge, local lad, for a lot of it, Indy Pro 2000 champion Louis Foster. Talk us through your best races. I know you mentioned Tauratonga already, and the barriers there, which scared you into racing quicker and avoiding the barriers. But what do you think your best races were from your time in New Zealand?
Well, I think Teratongo is definitely a good round with two feature race wins. But I would say pace-wise, probably we had the best pace in Mansfield round three. Like we were the quickest by far. I think basically every practice session, we were the quickest, and then having two poles in both qualifyings, wet and dry. Then we were just quite unlucky in the races with a very harsh penalty in race one for a very minor like infraction, and then in the last race we were taken out after leading for 18 laps. I
So
think that weekend we could have gotten a massive points advantage and made my life a bit easier, but it made it more interesting for the championship, which is, I guess, for the fans is a bit cooler. For me it's a bit more stressful, but
but
yeah.
that it's all done now, so stress, no stress, whatever. You should be happy that you get
Yeah.
such a rock star finish. Max Verstappen won the championship in the last race, and it will look pretty damn good, right? So anyway, anybody watching, maybe looking and seeing, there's a familiar face joining the podcast as timely as ever, but a little bit behind the scenes, Josh Revel is joining us at a very last minute request, so I can give him a little bit of leeway, although he has missed me say kia ora in a terrible Kiwi accent and sweet as to represent New Zealand as well as it is. But You are, Josh, as I had written in my intro, and I'll do an intro halfway through the podcast. You are the best New Zealand export after Brendan Hartley's hairdo. Welcome back to the podcast. You don't often have a lot of time to talk about your favorite subject outside of motorsport New Zealand. How about that? You're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm the pastor of all this stuff, aren't I? I love talking about this stuff, you know? It's just like I said in the video, it's like baby oil to me. I look forward to this every year. It's just Christmas time for me. Whenever Toyota Racing Series or Rock or whatever it's called nowadays, comes back to our shores.
I'm glad to have you here because this is a very much meant to be the New Zealand episode, I suppose. Charlie's been giving us lovely bits of wisdom about how you guys like to fill your safety barriers with some concrete in between the tires.
I thought it was just milk bottles. Oh, concrete as well, I suppose.
Kiwi logic, Kiwi logic.
It's just basically whatever we find in the gutter, mate.
Liam Lawson's career. What? Oh, too soon. It's not.
Ouch.
Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry, mate. But it's not often we get to talk. And to be honest, Liam Lawson going to Super Formula, that's not really that bad, is it? But it's not often we get to talk about New Zealand. And once a year, if we exclude a certain thing called a pandemic, some people might have heard of last year. You did an excellent video, Josh, if I may say so myself. And I found out before we started recording that somebody else here likes to watch some Josh Revel videos, very much aware of who
Yes.
you are. Maybe even watched this video, but you went through not TRS and why people should take notice of it. But for anybody who hasn't, anybody watching or listening now who hasn't watched that video, why is it such a good championship?
Well, the what do you want? Real answer or
Want the Josh Revel answer.
Well, you know, it's a good championship over. Well, it's effect. I mean, these winter series are effectively boot camps for racing drivers. You know, you learn a lot on our tracks in our series. It's a decent car. I say decent because, you know, Formula Regionals are in acquired taste. And like, there's apart from the racing aspect, you know, you go and experience the country. Obviously, once you get to the North Island, that's when things go south. But you know, still. It's overall a good experience over the 5 weeks, and you know, you just experience a lot, learn a lot, and it's all good stuff. Now, the real answer for why I love the championship, where it's at.
Simple as
It's
that.
just simple as that.
Back on topic, you're obviously a huge fan, Josh, of New Zealand and the series, and your videos detailing drivers' journeys, Formula One journeys, the ones who make it to Formula One, the ones that don't make it to Formula One, often make mention of TRS. What are your takeaways from 2023? And are there any drivers, like somebody here maybe, who you might be making videos about in 10 years' time?
Who's in the room? No one here, but I thought it was just in general. I kid you, Charlie. I kid you. No, honestly, it was a good series. It was a bit of surprise up and down the field. You know, like I'm obviously, as people know, a big fan of people like Kimi over in the Middle Eastern Championship. I'm just like, oh, why couldn't you come here? Oh, well, Prema, that's probably why. But still, though, like you have a look at who came here, how they did, how people were driving in the series, and it was great to see. There were some surprises up and down the field as to who, you know, was competing for wins, the championship. As more people came into the series, it started to get more interesting. Interesting wouldn't be a word that Charlie would use for race three at Manfield, but still, you know, like it was good all the same. But you still want me to point out who the standouts were, right?
The journalist here goes quiet, waiting for you to fill the void, you see.
Yes, and it's one of those times where it's like, do I give the correct answer or do I give the answer that people in the room want to hear?
It's hopefully
I'm
the
not suggesting that's the case now, but it's
same.
like I get nervous when people, you know, ask me who were the best drivers in the series and one of them is in the room. Like it's just like, shit, okay,
One of
paddock
them does
access
have
can
a
go in a second.
cha One of them does have a champion's trophy after them.
Exactly. And you know, when you consider everything, for sure, like I think after the first round, a lot of people looked at Callum and they thought he's going to run away with the championship.
Hmm.
But I also know that in this championship, there's always those people. There's always a case of the first round doesn't necessarily paint how the rest of the season is going to go. Like at Highlands in 2020, I think it was. You look at the first round and you think the two contenders are going to be Kyle Collett and Liam Lawson. And then Igor came out of nowhere rained on Liam's parade. So, yeah, I was always a bit wary about that first round. It's like, well, two or three is when we're going to start seeing the people come in. Charlie was odds on favorite for the season. And by, it was about round two, it was just like, oh, yeah, here he comes. Because he had no pole positions and no wins in the first round. But then he started to come alive. It's like, okay, here we go. It seems championship wrapped up. But it was, you know, there was a lot of back and forth. It was a good championship. You love it when it goes down to the final race.
Mm.
And of course, when we went down to the final race and he just drove a brilliant race and, you know, completely uninterrupted and worthy champion, boy.
Worthy champion. Now, that, there's not a lot of high praise from Josh Revel often.
Normally I just like tearing people apart because that's the easiest, lowest hanging fruit. But still, though, I am otherwise... Louis Foster coming in and off the plane. I mean, I know he got some extra sessions when he arrived in Manfield, but, you know, you got to consider what he was up against. He was jet-lagged to the gills. He was in a car that he wasn't overly familiar with, you know, the Formula Regional. And what's worse, he had to be situated in the middle of nowhere in New Zealand, in Palmerston North, New Zealand. It's like... Apart from Invercargill, that's something I really don't want to wish on anyone.
We do have a question about that later, so let me just skip on. But a nice segue, because talking about the Formula Regional car. And Charlie, I don't really want to focus on your future just yet. We're going to get there in a second. There's plenty of audience questions asking this sort of stuff. But you are, of course, racing in more Formula Regional this year. And you did test with ART, your new team, in the Freca test at the end of last year, as well as half of Europe by the amount of drivers they put in that car. But... How much learning did you have of the car then, and how much does it vary to the car you were driving in New Zealand? Because as Josh alluded to, they are meant to be two quite different beasts.
The car, I think Europe compared to New Zealand is similar in a way, but also quite different. So the first weekend, I was a bit like, you could say perplexed. Like everything.
That's a perfect word. No one's ever used perplexed on the podcast before.
It's like, it's the same car, but everything was slightly different. I think the main thing is the tires, the Hankooks are much harder. So basically the more you drive, the better it gets. And also with, we have a minimum ride out here because the tracks are so bumpy. Like the bumps are just massive that you have to run the car so high. Otherwise you would like, break the car and like crack the chassis.
New Zealand's version of porpoising.
yeah. So basically, I think they tested basically the same car, so same tires, same ride height in Europe, and it's like 3 seconds slower than with the Pirellis.
Mm.
In the end, I think it's different, but getting all these laps in will definitely help.
Did you enjoy, I know this is a difficult question to ask a driver, especially once going into a new championship, but did you have any preference of the car? Did you enjoy one more? Did you enjoy one of the cars more than the other with any of the setup stuff, with any of the speed, with any of the grip that you got? Or do you think it's more on the tires than it was on the car?
It's difficult to say. I think always when the car is perfect, feels like a 10 out of 10. Any car you drive is enjoyable. Even like a Fiat 500 could be feel like the best grip you've ever felt. I think, yeah, it doesn't matter what car you drive. You know when the car feels perfect, when the car feels like you have mega grip. And I've had that a few times here. I've had that a few times in Europe. And it's always the best feeling. I mean, it doesn't matter what you're driving. It just feels great.
Well, I mean, there goes a Ferrari contract there when you start putting the Fiat 500 as a bottom level of what's a good car. But we've got audience questions, which I do want to get into. But Josh, you are here now as well. And I think you know that I am a huge New Zealand fan. I've been three times. Can't wait to return again. But I've tackled the North Island twice.
I apologize.
I've kind of circumnavigated the South Island three times on each of my trips, but I've never stopped at a racetrack yet. But for my next visit, or any racing fans watching or listening, heading to your wonderful country soon, what are the, and we could do this trademarks, what are the Revel recommendations?
Revel recommendations, which are the best racetracks in New Zealand?
Or a road trip maybe where you can hit them all.
Well, the ones that aren't FIA grade 39, like, so in other words, stay away from levels. If you want to stay from Era Wash and interesting and depressing towns, stay away from Teretonga. I tell you, there was a big rah-rah about the Era Wash at Teretonga, and you would think,
Rara.
or whatever it is, it just slipped my mind. But
You're perplexing me with the
I am
rah-rah here.
perplexed. Yes, exactly. But you know, there was like you know how notorious these regional cars are with, you know, trying to pass in anything that's even like a sweeper.
You might have heard me trying to just get it out of Charlie Vertz just then, and he was excellently dodging the question, but yes, I do know.
Yes, I know what other drivers were saying, so I can be that sort of that person that would like
Tell the
almost
truth.
say the truth, almost say the truth. I don't know. I can't speak for every single person, but let's just say the FT50 is a bit more adored than the FT60. But no, like, I think you know, why they did not go to Ruapuna this year is beyond me. They are going there next year, but it's just like, yikes. You know, like Hampton Downs, obviously, that's got a few facilities there. You got the go-kart track, you got Skipan, the racetrack, three different layouts. Or is it, yeah, three different layouts. You know, and it's got all kinds of stuff there. Pukekohe is going to the dogs, and literally in about a couple months, it's getting bulldozed, so don't go. You can't go there
Don't
anymore.
go because you can't go yet. That's a bit of a problem.
Taupo is good. I mean, I went there for the first time, you know, at the end of the championship,
I see.
and
You saw the celebrations.
I was only there for the Saturday. I had to get back on the Saturday. But the thing that was sort of, you know, a lot of the drivers were talking about was the surface. And I remember driver, I can't say his name out of fear of whatever, I don't know, word spreads, but they were commenting just like they were, in no uncertain terms, not a fan of the surface. But track owner knew that, and I'm sure they'll fix it up. So that's good. It's a decent racetrack for sure. But I think really, if you are coming here, you want to visit at least one of them, I'd probably say Hampton is your best bet.
You were quite effusive about that in your video, from what I recall as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I jokingly made the remark that the best thing about New Zealand racetracks is that if you get it wrong, they kill you.
Charlie said something very similar.
It's just like, yeah, I guess I'm sort of that mindset where I don't like people keeping the boot in it when they go off the track at these grade one circuits where they asphalt the whole track. It's amazing. The FIA put in these mandates where they say you've got to asphalt the runoff area, and then they get perplexed whenever people put a boot in it. It's just like, don't do that. It's like, well, you make these rulings, mate. So no, I guess.
Hampton in
Yeah,
the word.
I don't
Hampton
know.
in the word. I'm conscious of time here because I know one of us here is a bit young and needs to get back for some prior engagements. In how long, Charlie?
Like 10 minutes.
Okay.
Oh,
10
boy.
minutes. We got to go quick. Josh, you're staying on though as your penance for joining a little bit late. There's a couple of questions I want to ask you as well. Let's move on to the hashtag AskFS part of the podcast. If this is your first time watching or listening, you can get involved by using the hashtag AskFS on Twitter, joining our Discord and use the podcast questions channel, commenting on our YouTube videos, or keeping an eye out on our Instagram posts and stories. So let's see how many we can get through. This question's from Bam slash Sam. It's a little one of those German bees. What's it called, Charlie? The German bee?
It's basically an S.
S, it's double S, right? Double S. Sam. Let's go with Sam.
Yeah.
via Discord, did the drivers and the other people in the paddock still call it TRS?
I mean, CT Frock is quite a long name. Castrol Toyota Formula Oceania Championship is quite long to remember. So I think, yeah, I think we just called it either Frock or TRS, whatever's easiest.
So are you the TRS champion or the Frock champion? What's your preference?
Frock.
Oh, wow. The first
I think Oceania sounds cool.
I get that. I get
like,
that.
It sounds big. Well, it depends. Like for normal people, like just general people, I think Oceania will sound bigger, but maybe for like more racer fans, no TRS.
It's all about the perspective. You just want to sell, don't you? Yeah, I want Australia, New Zealand, all of that. No problem. Genius. I like that, Charlie. That's good thinking. Checo, you like this? He wants to know, or she, but Checo, what were your goals coming into the Frock Championship? Didn't call it TRS. What were your goals going into Frock? Was it simply to win, or did you have some more things about just getting experience?
Well, I think the most important thing, which I highlighted, I think the first rounds was just to learn as much as possible. I think I'd, especially after the first races, I had so much room to improve. I just wanted to focus on that and not care about whatever championship and everything. And then we saw it was going quite well. So after for the last like round or two, we started to focus more on the championship. And then, yeah, we knew it was possible after we started to get wins, pole positions, and yeah, in the end we won, which I think we knew could happen if we put it all together at the start of the championship. But I didn't want to focus too much on that. I just want to focus on like doing the best job I can and seeing how it goes from there. But then in the end we did do a good job and we managed to win the championship.
I have a follow-up question on my own there, because Josh mentioned earlier that you were the favorite. Did you know that you were the favorite going into the championship? Like, and does that play on you if you do know?
No, but I mean, I didn't know how the Kiwis would be, to be honest, because they know all the tracks. Like Callum was telling me, he did like 4,000 laps or something in Hampton
what?
Downs.
Of course
so,
he does.
So they know the tracks well. I didn't know exactly how strong they would be. There was also other drivers coming from Europe and also from America. I didn't know exactly how strong they would be, but I knew I'm fast, and if I drive well, if I put it all together, if I work well with the team, make sure to have a good relationship with my engineer, that we could win. But I didn't put any too much pressure on myself, because in the end,
whatever you did was perfect.
All I could do is drive.
Whatever you did was clearly perfect. But I really wanted to ask this question. I'm just really conscious of time, so we can get through as many as we can in the 3-ish minutes we've got. But Trohooksio via Discord. It's maybe a story here. You might remember me as the blue croc guy, but who do you think had the best crocs on the grid?
I do remember the blue crocs. the whole of M2 signed them, and it was definitely cool to get like everyone onto crocs. I think Callum started the trend. He showed up with green sandals and full of grass first round, and then also Croc. So that was a bit, it was sort of like an inside joke for the TRS paddock. Mm-hmm. But it was cool. I forgot what the actual question was, but
Who do you think had the best Crocs was the question.
Oh, that's a good question. I would say Ryder, my other teammate. He rocked up with, I think, like these gibbets, the things you put, he crocked up with these like gibbets, the things you put inside the Crocs, and they were completely full. But they're all out of stock in the whole of New Zealand, because it's like I think it's like a new trend or something. So they're like €10 per gibbet. So I think he spent like €200 on his Crocs or something.
Brilliant. Well, Josh, you can elaborate on that in a second when Charlie's gone. But a couple more.
I can't explain this phenomenon.
Well, actually,
I can't explain my countrymen at the best of times, but please.
Well, you've got another question afterwards, but this one's for Charlie right now from Ashley via Discord. What are your opinions on Invercargill? I know Josh would like you to answer this for sure.
Well, I mean,
you can be honest, man. You can be honest, because everyone in New Zealand thinks the exact same thing.
I did have a good weekend there, so I can't be too hard. But No, but I mean, obviously, it's a bit crazy the track. When I saw it the first time, I was a bit. I mean, it's 45 seconds or something like that. I forgot what it was,
It's
but
a karting track.
yeah. And when I saw the tire barriers filled with concrete, I got a bit scared, and I made sure that I wouldn't visit those places and that I would stay on track. But
It's
the actual,
encouraging, though.
yeah, but the actual track for quali lap is actually cool. And then I was happy in the race because I had a technical problem in race three. Something broke on the back of my car. And I was like 5 tenths slower than everyone. But because you couldn't overtake, I won the race. So I was actually quite happy that
So it's all
it
about the
was fun.
memories. I get that. I get
Yeah.
that.
I was actually quite lucky that it was such a difficult track to overtake.
Well, there might be the same sort of answer here from Avik Mo on Twitter. Which Kiwi track is the most fun to drive? Fun, that is, in your opinion.
I would say Highlands was definitely really cool. I mean, you go airborne four wheels in the air, which I don't think that's you'd have that anywhere else in the world, but definitely not in Europe. It was definitely a first over a bridge to go airborne. But and then it's a really cool track. Like all the corners are sort of unique and what you wouldn't get that in Europe. Banked jumps, concrete walls everywhere. Like half of it is sort of like a street track. And then also Hampton Downs was like really up and down. It's just corners you wouldn't really like get in Europe. So it was really, really good experience. Those two tracks are definitely my favorite.
The airborne tracks where downforce doesn't work when you go to the other side of the world. Final question, and we can't go through a podcast without mentioning food, it seems. And you answered favorite cheese last time, I remember, but I don't know if you answered this. Cesar Valero on Twitter, what are your favorite foods? I don't know if you've got a specific one food answer with your 15 seconds left.
Well, I remember from my F4 UAE experience in the Rotana, there was this Indian restaurant, and it was the best Indian I've ever had, and I still dream about it to this day. I hope I can go back once to have some butter chicken with naan bread. It
You had
was, I
your chance
mean,
this year. You went to New Zealand
I
instead.
know. I'll just have to go back again,
You go back
but
again.
it's definitely worth just to go to Abu Dhabi just to eat that because I added like every day I gained like 3 kilos from it
Were going to say gained
because it was
three
just so
tenths,
cool.
but you gained 3 kilos.
It was worth the joy.
Right, quick question for me then, because I know you do really need to go. What was your favorite food that you had in New Zealand?
I don't know. Is there special Kiwi food? I can't think of anything, but what else?
I mean, our stuff is not very complicated, mate.
I wasn't going to ask about your favorite Kiwi food, just your favorite food when you were there.
I mean that we had like catering there, and whatever they made was so
You
good.
were there for a month. You didn't just have catering for a month.
I've seen M2's catering. That was insane. I looked at that. I just thought, what is this? The
We had
amount
a
of food.
barbecue for lunch, wraps, everything. So
You had everything, mate. Meanwhile, us peasants had to queue for 15 minutes for the damn coffee. It's just, I just remember I was speaking to David and Callum, and I just saw the catering at Taupo. I'm like, what the? It was insane. Now,
I
the
know you're
real
looking for a
reason why he's
team,
gone
but
down to New
still.
Zealand, not going to for F4UA or Framec for the catering. We got the real answer right at the end, Charlie. Thank you so much for joining. I know you need to go and be a teenager of education, annoyingly, getting in the way of talking about your victories. But you go and tell them how you dominated an entire continent, and we'll keep quiet about just two islands, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much. See you.
Thank you so much for coming on, Josh. We'll get a few more answers from yourself, but nice kid.
Yeah. Met him at Hampton Downs actually. I didn't want to say it there because it would have interrupted everything. But I mean, I was at both Hampton and Taupo for the championship. And the great thing about being at a race, especially at Hampton Downs, great thing about being at those facilities is there's not much shade. And the series is on during the summer where we've got a hole in the ozone layer and a UV level of 12. As a result, yeah, I changed color quite a lot that day. It was the most insane thing ever. But you know, it is good, you know, these championships in a sense that a lot of the paddock is open and you can go visit these guys. And especially knowing how many of these guys end up in the upper echelons of motorsports, like get them while you can, you know? So yeah, it's good. Now that the racing driver's out, I don't know if we could be a bit more honest, but I guess
He does watch
there's
your
a bit of
content, so you have to be somewhat.
I know he does. When I released the video, like he sent me a message in the morning, just like all the M2 drivers watching your video. I'm just like, ah, it's like, but I know, like, I knew that David and Ryder, and he watched the channel. But I do know that Liam Skeets would have been watching that video as well. And I said that he was a person who's about 84% sure that he's actually a racing driver. And some of that, it's just like, I knew there was some things that I was going to say in that video where it's like, shit. Like, yeah. But it was cool though. You know, I do enjoy that coming along because it is pretty much our only connection with just about with the F1 feeder series. So, you know, it's always super privilege when you see it come down here. Still though, I was still forever disappointed we didn't get the likes of Kimi Antonelli down here. But I'm praying now that he's won from Mick, that he can come down here and win his 8 millionth championship, take the Oceania Championship, New Zealand Grand Prix, provided he actually does win them, through his resume. I mean, I'm hoping for that, but still, I mean, yeah, there were some surprises this year for sure in Frock, which
Frock.
we'll get into.
Is that what you want to call it? Do you want to call it Frock? I mean, I'm still
Well,
TRS and I'm not even a Kiwi, so
I mean,
maybe.
we were all still calling it TRS in the paddock, because you know it was that for like what, 18 years, something like that. So it's like it's hard to shake that. But nah. I don't know. I don't want to hijack this podcast. So, I guess I'll hand the hosting back to you before this gets out of hand.
No, not TRS works for me. But I'll have these ask FS questions from the audience, which unfortunately, because well, I like to talk, I like to let the guests talk, I like hearing you talk, that we didn't get to as many. So I was looking through them beforehand anyway, very aware that poor Charlie had to go and be a student for a bit. I thought there are some here which could be answered by not a driver, such as CM Parfait 16 via Discord. Shall Or does, I think he's meant to say, does the New Zealand Grand Prix deserve to gain more global appeal akin to the Macau Grand Prix, for example? What do you think?
Well, if we're being totally, I mean, my patriotism goes to a point. Like, I think if you were to ask me what's a more formidable track to conquer, Taupo or Macau, you don't even need to finish that
Well, he
sentence.
didn't say which one
Like,
should be more. It's more, should it
it's
gain
just that if we're getting it up to the notoriety of Macau, you know, it's like Macau is a place, it's rubbish for passing, you know, with the exception of going down to Lisboa. But at the same time, you know, like you conquer those streets, you're worth a damn, you know. You conquer Taupo, you're just another racing driver. But they're going to Highlands next year, which is going to be fun for the Aero Wash. But still, that track does present its own challenges, you know, especially at the sweeper. You get it wrong there, gone. You're dead. And especially, little known
Actually,
fact, after the bridge, at Highlands, you go through the left-hander. If you screw up at that corner, you light up the rears and you shoot off to the inside. There is a gravel trap there, but also there is an alligator.
I've heard this.
It's a fake one, but it's
I
still
have
there.
heard this. What the hell?
Well, that's just Tony Quinn's idea of a racetrack. It's just like, but at the same time, you know, the thing is that it's not totally unique. Because over in Palm Beach, their racetrack before it was destroyed, when it was Moroso Motorsport Park, at the end of the drag strip, there was no tire bundles there. It was just basically the bayou or the river or whatever it was, and there were literally families of alligators that lived in there. So if you overcooked it into there, it's just like, well, Serves you right for abusing track limits.
Well, I am adding all of these places to my wish list of going to visit when I do go to New Zealand next. These are the sorts of tracks that sound more like Mario Kart than anything else. But CM Parfait 16's second question, what's your favorite type of milk? And have you ever heard or tasted a goat's milk? I don't know if that's Kimmy Antonelli specifically, or but what's your favorite type of milk?
I'm going onto this Discord to see what these guys are on about. Okay.
Always so much food, but that's the honest question.
Goat milk. Yes. far out. favorite type of milk. Ones that you could drink, I guess. I guess is one way to go about it. I don't know. Like, I never give that thought.
I tell you something.
Like, to me, milk is milk.
Yeah, I know this, and people from the last podcast will might remember me saying that I quit on the meat and whatnot. Just don't do dairy. Have pistachio milk. That if you've had a chance to have pistachio milk, I swear, man, that is some of the most delicious stuff. Now you're putting a hat on for people who aren't.
Because my hair doesn't know what it wants to do, so I figured I might as well put on a Nick Cassidy formula hat. I might as well do what he did when he was over in Japan and thought it would be a good idea as a white guy to wear his baseball hat backwards.
You do look like a bit of
an rapper. Idiot? Yeah, I know.
I was trying to be, well, I went for something a bit more kind, but yes, an idiot. Ashley, I also asked, well, I had the same question, but I'm going to also ask it to you. What are your opinions on Invercargill? It's got the word car in it. That's good, right?
Put it to you this way. Before I became a YouTuber, I was offered to move down there for work for double the salary and half the rent payments. I didn't even respond to the email. to be honest with you, I don't want to be too mean to Invercargill. It's just like, it's just generally considered the a-hole of New Zealand.
I remember that when I was like, there.
It's just a cold, desolate place, and a place where real, if you could read between the lines, people can't be identified by dental records in that region of the world. So, you know, it's like, it's just got this reputation, I guess. There's no real reason to go down to Invercargill for anyone who lives up here on our high horses in Auckland. But, you know, like, I don't know. I'm probably going way.
Have you ever been
too
though?
Far with this? I don't need to go. You look at the picture.
Come on. The only reason I wanted to go is my completionist. So I had the Stray bus tour. Like, they got these Kiwi experiences and whatnot. I did the Stray one back in 2011. North Island, South Island. I was devastated. I never made it down there. And they got penguins or something, no?
Yeah, we got penguins. All
in Invercargill.
Right, where they're at. Around the southern part of the South Island, I think.
Yeah.
So, but they're cool, you know. We love those critters. We put them on banknotes. That tells you what we think of our penguins.
And that's the best thing.
Our favorite penguins are the ones that can't fly. That tells you what about our country.
Let's rewind. You did join the podcast a little bit late. I did ask you to join a little bit late. We're both at fault here, but we did talk about TRS, Frock, whatever. Early on with Charlie, in the interest of time, I didn't want to dominate too much, but you've got 5 minutes, which is a brief time for you, but your thoughts on TRS and Frock and this year,
quick fire stuff. Louis Foster and Lawrence were rapid right out of the box. It was great to see. Lawrence was completely blindsided us all, you know, with how he did. Jacob Abel was amazing in consistency until it mattered most. M2 had a weird obsession with Crocs, which I'll never understand. And it extended to the Discord, in fact. Chloe Chambers proved that she can drive, you know? It was in the first part of the year. It was, you know, you'd actually watched the racing. It's just like, she's not doing bad. She's hanging in there. Mm-hmm. And then had that reverse grid pole and easily held off Caleb Nartoa, who's a good peddler. And she drove away from him. So, you know, like, it was great to see that. It was great to see someone actually proving their worth. And it's like, well, if she's that competent, what was going on in the W Series?
There's a lot of questions about that, isn't there?
There is a lot of questions about that, but I think anyone who knows the inside of motorsport knows that, yeah, I think we know what happened. But in any case, it was good to see that nonetheless. Jeez, what else? Liam Skeets, Liam Skeets did bloody well, you know, considering he just is fresh out of Formula Fords, came in, was there or thereabouts in the pace, was constantly up toward the podiums. If he didn't have so many retirements and problems, he may have been pushing Jacob Abel. So it was good to see from him. I don't know. Like it was an interesting season for sure. You know,
not one for the ages, though.
I think we do kind of remember 2020 with affection, with how close it was between Igor and Liam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there were stories about, you know, what was going on internally, but that's motorsport all up.
Well, let's talk about Mick Schumacher. We can do the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's just the thing with motorsport. It's never clean cut as it may seem on the surface.
Hmm.
2019 was great as well with Armstrong versus Lawson as well. Yeah, there were some good seasons out there. But you know, this did come down to the last race. There was a lot of back and forth. You know, two up and coming stars. You know, you would think that Wurz was going to run away with the title. I mean, I think a lot of us sort of felt that. It's just like, here's a guy who's been in with Prema, you know, done a lot of stuff in this sort of cars, this F4 UAE champion. Surely he's got to be in. Wasn't quite that. Callum put up a good fight despite putting in his 4,000 hours in the car, which...
It was 4,000 laps, I think it was.
For that, well, 4,000 laps, yeah. Well, it's... You know, it does sound like an exaggeration. It's not. There was a lot of testing went on in that FT60. But yeah, still though, you know, the fact it went down to the last race, and I think that's what we all want to see. You know, we want it to go down to the last to the last lap of the last race.
Unless Michael Massey's there, right?
Either that, or James Wharton crashes into the side of you.
Well, you've looped it in now. We're going to avoid talking about the Middle East, but we had to do it. So
this is where I come out as a massive Tuukka Tappanen fan.
Well, we all like a Finn, don't we? But yes, on that note, we do touch on the other champion that we did get. Well, two champions, and got Kimi Antonelli and James Wharton also joining the 2023 Champions List. So well done to those guys. But that's all the time we have for this week. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. If you've made it this far, you may be happy to know that Josh is going to be appearing on the podcast pretty damn soon, but we'll talk more about
with
that.
With my hero. We'll see that when it comes out.
Yeah, we've not said who.
I did not mention names. No, I didn't mention names. But you do know that I'm going to be sort of, I don't know, what is it, misty eyes whenever I see who the guest is. You can't miss this. You literally can't miss this because it'll be an interesting dynamic for sure. And maybe not who you think.
Very looking forward to it. I'm very, very much looking forward to it. But if you'd like to have your question asked on a future episode, use the hashtag AskFS on Twitter. Drop any questions below if you're watching on YouTube. Respond to our Instagram stories or posts, or let us know what questions you have on your mind on Discord. Look for the podcast questions channel. If you are watching on YouTube, drop a like on the video, leave a comment, subscribe to the channel. You can do the same for Josh's if you want to. I think he's got enough subscribers.
No, not enough. We need to get those numbers up. I know I'm a cat kid, but come on. I would like that gold plaque.
There's never enough. But we just hit 2,000. So yeah. If you have subscribed, really, really appreciate it. That's a big milestone for us in just about a year. So thank you so much if you are subscribed. And if you're not, please smash that button. If you are listening, however, leave a review on the podcast platform you're listening on. We greatly appreciate that. And finally, check out feederseries.net for more Feeder Series insight and follow feeder_series, FS Americas, and Feeder Series Now on Twitter. You can find the links to all of those, plus the Twitter accounts for myself and everyone else in the podcast, in the YouTube description or the podcast show notes. Until next time, when we're going to have Josh Revel. We have been the Feeder Series podcast. Goodbye. We'll